Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. A history of ghosts. I'll start out by saying, as a child, I grew up in an old boarding house which my grandmother owned. There were strange occurrences that were felt by all members of the family. From my own personal experience there, I saw lights from the downstairs sitting room, heard voices and footsteps, and even witnessed a small glass object as it was lifted physically by unseen hands from the mantle. Needless to say, I am a believer in ghosts, but I also have a good skeptical brain. Many times, there are normal reasons for seemingly paranormal events. However, I have no explanation within the range of normality that describes my experiences in my last home. At 16, I moved in with a friend's family due to issues with my own family. I had visited her home many, many times before and had gotten strange vibes while I was there. One evening, when we were about 14, she and I were having a phone conversation at night when she screamed as if she had been stabbed. After a moment of listening to her frantic breathing, I asked her what was wrong. "I just saw a head outside of my window." I didn't know what to think for a moment. Meanwhile, she took her cordless phone around the house, wanted me to listen and calm her down as she looked for whoever might be outside. No one was there. When she told her mother about the incident, she offered, "Maybe it was an owl?" However, Kat, my friend, can recall to this day seeing a black figure looking in with head and shoulders as a visible outline to its faceless form. From then on, she kept her blinds closed. When I moved in, things stayed fairly usual. Nothing of huge import happened for many years. But when Kat's mom moved out with her husband to Florida, we were charged with a house. By this point, I had gotten into paranormal investigating and had a small group going. When strange things started to happen around the house, I began taking EVPs. Now, this is a reminder to anyone getting involved in paranormal investigations. Be very careful with who you team up with. My friends, who also moved in with us as roommates, were my teammates. After they were forced out of the house via police, they had stolen things from us and would not get jobs. They took all of my audio equipment and one of my cameras. The EVPs I took during our sessions in the house have been completely lost. Some do still jump out in my memory. I will list them for you briefly. EVP number one. The date, I think it was roughly around 2006. I was lying in our bedroom, previously Kat's mother's bedroom, where we heard a child's laughter. Here's what I got. I asked, "Are you happy that Paige, which was Kat's mother, is gone?" The response that I received was nothing more than a small, somewhat unnerving laugh and an incomprehensible whisper. EVP number two. I think this EVP took place around 2008. By this time, the so-called friends had moved into the house with us. They had been complaining about hearing Kat and I talking at night. Their room was beside the staircase. We told them that we had not been talking at 3 a.m. since I had to go to work at 9 a.m. and whatever they were hearing was obviously not us. So, before we were set to leave the house for the day, I staged the recorder on the kitchen table. However, the only EVP that we caught this session was in fact while all of us were still on the property. One of the two friends was outside, already in the car with Kat. Myself and the other friend named Jordan were in the house. I was getting something from the kitchen when the front door opened and Gary came inside saying, "I forgot my coat." As he was saying this, another male voice, deeper and unlike any other voice in the house, it was very guttural to some degree, overlapped the other noises on the recording. It was very clear, and I still get goosebumps when I think about it. The voice said, "They never took the body." EVP number three. After this previous incident had occurred and we had listened to the tape, Jordan and I decided that it was time to attempt to communicate. This day, we were at home alone. It was fairly early in the day, around 11 a.m. or so, and the house was uncomfortable. There was a restless sort of energy about the place. We took out our recordings and spoke casually for a long time. We began to hear a banging noise in the bathroom, but remained fairly cool about it. When the noise stopped, we addressed things directly. This was heard both on the recording and at the time it was recorded. Jordan said, "Was that you making that banging sound? If it was, can you knock for me? Two knocks for yes, one for no." Almost as soon as Jordan had given the instructions, two very loud bangs were heard from the hallway where the half bath was. The banishing. As cheesy as it sounds, things got very intense on Halloween of 2008, which I believe was a Friday. I was off work, Kat didn't have classes, and Jordan was not working. The other friend, Gary, and Kat's brother, Mike, were on campus. Now, it is of note that we were not doing anything of merit. I believe I had just gotten up. It was around 10 a.m. and Kat was still asleep. Jordan was playing his DS on the couch. We both heard at the same time very loud banging and sliding noises coming from the half bath again. The half bath was in the hall just outside of my bedroom. This experience I will never forget. While I did not see anyone's hands on the doors of the bathroom cabinet, here they were, opening and closing as if someone were looking very hastily for something inside of them. It only lasted for a few seconds after I had witnessed it. After I had stood dumbfounded for a moment, I rushed into the living room and got Jordan, who was looking into the hall with a stunned expression. That night, we invited a few other friends who were also into these things. We sat down in the living room and actually asked the ghost to leave. Well, we didn't flat out ask, we asked questions, to which we got further EVPs, such as, "What are you looking for?" To which we got a reply, "Home." After we had asked the ghost to either be polite or leave, things did indeed calm down. We made it clear that we were not afraid but confused, and that it was welcome as long as it respected us as we did it. Nothing ever really stopped. People would still hear the female voice in the stairs and living room, which we did catch on recorders, and sometimes guests would feel someone watching them at night. This house was built in 1998, but was placed over the foundation of an old farmhouse which had burnt down many, many years ago. The land sits on a lovely, pristine 4 acres and is probably still occupied by special guests. I have since moved, so I do not know the state of the house, as Kat's brother's in charge of its upkeep now. Whatever is there is not intent on hurting anyone and seems quite happy that we accepted it just as another tenant. But then you never know when that might change. Something in the room. I had a very terrifying experience one night. Before, I had never experienced anything paranormal and was very skeptical to things that were supernatural. But this night definitely scared me into believing. It was about 11 o'clock at night when the first strange thing began happening. I had gone to bed around 10 as it was a school night and was dwelling on insomnia at this time. I was getting close to sleep and closed my eyes when my bed began to shake. I didn't know what was happening at first, but when I realized it wasn't me shaking the bed, I threw the covers over my head like a little kid and kept my eyes shut. The shaking lasted about 2 minutes and then abruptly stopped. I waited a few seconds and then I pulled back the covers and looked around my room. No one was there and it was completely silent. Then my doorknob suddenly started shaking like someone was trying to open my door. It shook for a few seconds and then I heard the ping of the brass like the lock had been unlocked. I had not locked my door before bed. The door opened to a crack and then swung back violently and stopped just before hitting the wall. I sat upright in my bed, staring at the door, scared out of my mind. Then, in the blink of an eye, a shadow crossed the doorway and went into the hall bathroom. The bathroom light came on and the bathroom door slammed shut. I didn't know what to do, so I sat frozen in my bed. I watched the light from under the bathroom door turn off, and then the bathroom door open. The shadow whooshed by my door, and then my door slammed shut. I immediately threw my head under the covers and began saying prayers that I remembered from my Catholic school days. I didn't sleep for the rest of the night and spent the next few nights sleeping on the couch in the living room. After that night, I placed a crucifix above the bed in my room and tried to forget the whole thing. But about a year later, during a particularly violent thunderstorm, I woke at 4 a.m. to find the crucifix above my bed turned upside down, but still hanging on the wall above my head. I don't know, nor do I care to know, what I saw that night or what haunted my room. I told my parents, and they have heartedly believed me. After I moved out, my parents tried to remodel my bedroom. During the remodeling, my father was painting the walls when the door suddenly slammed shut. He walked over to the door and it wouldn't open. He tried for several minutes to open the door and it wouldn't budge. Suddenly, the lights in the room turned off and he turned around to see a tall, dark figure in the opposite corner of the room from him. He fumbled with the doorknob and finally managed to open the door and ran out of the room. He refused to work on the room anymore, and they promptly sold the house to the first buyer at a very reduced price. The house on the corner. The house had 7 bedrooms, a huge porch that went all the way around the house, front to back. It stood on the corner of 2nd Street and School Place. I know this about the house because I have been there in my dreams, or maybe I should say my nightmares. The first time I saw the house, I was walking with my dog. We came to the street where the house stood in all its glory. I thought to myself, wow, that's the house of my dreams. I wanted desperately to go in and look around. It's as if the house was somehow calling me to come to it. The windows were so big and inviting, like the eyes to the soul. If a house has a soul, maybe it does. Is that even possible? That night, I dreamed of the big house on the corner with the big windows and the wraparound porch. As I entered the house in my dream, I felt like I belonged there. It's as if I knew every nook, every room, every secret. When I awoke, I felt a bit confused. I could not really focus on anything other than the house on the corner. The following day, I approached the house and then got my nerve up to knock on the front door. It took a long while, and as I was turning to walk away, the door opened. There, standing in the doorway, was a very small child with very sad eyes. It was a small girl, about 8 years old. I smiled and said, "Hello, is your mom or dad home?" She looked at me and shook her head no. Well, I thought, that's strange for the child to be left alone. But then, maybe there was a sitter that she had not mentioned. "My name is Ruby, and I wanted to talk to your parents about your house." "I have no parents. I live here with Rabbit, my guardian. She's in the backyard. Would you like me to get her for you?" "Yes, thank you." The little girl turned and walked away. I waited and waited. It seemed at least a half hour went by. No one came, so I walked around to the back. I saw nothing at all. No girl, no rabbit, just weeds, a broken fence, and a dead garden. Everything looked abandoned, dead. I then went back to the front door and knocked, but nothing. No one came. I left and decided to go to the library to do some research on the house in the corner. After a little while researching the house, I found out that the house in the corner had been vacant for over 3 years. The family that lived there all died in a terrible murder-suicide from the oldest child, a boy, that went off the deep end. I must say, I was so freaked out, I started to shake and turn as white as a sheet. The man sitting down from me at the same table asked if I was okay. I looked at him and said, "No, I'm not." I could not believe my eyes. I now avoid the house on the corner at all costs, because every time I went by, I felt the house calling out to me. Then I would see a little girl in the eyes of the house just staring at me through the window. Living in a haunted house. The house I grew up in was haunted. I'm the youngest child of 6, and all of my siblings agree that the house was haunted. None of the other siblings ever saw ghosts except for me. My parents did not believe in ghosts and would ignore the strange things that would happen. Numerous things happened to me that I cannot even share them all. We had a heavy wooden door in the basement that was hard to open. Sometimes, out of the blue, it would start swinging open and shut. My dad ended up removing the door. Sometimes the dishes in the cupboards would rattle violently, though our swinging plants were still. I always felt like something was watching me in that house. I was always scared, even in the daytime. We lived on several acres of land. The far back of the property had been covered in eucalyptus trees. My dad had kept most of them down. In the summer, sometimes a few friends of mine would pitch a tent back there and camp out for the night when we were kids. There were a few nights when strange things happened to us out there. In the middle of the night, when we had drifted to sleep in our tents, something caved in the side of our tent. It felt as if a somewhat heavy mass was thrown at the side of our tent. The force of it picked up my duffel bag and threw it across the tent. My friend and I had woken up at that point and were wondering what had happened. Then someone grabbed my ankle from outside of the tent. At that point, I was sure that it was my dad playing pranks on us, so all of my fear dissolved, and I stood up and unzipped the tent in a hurry. I called out, "Dad, stop! We know you're there." It was almost dawn by then, and it was light enough to see the area around the tent. I saw no one, just an empty field and a few trees. I could see the gravel road leading to the house clearly, and no one was on it. I was still looking for my dad. I went up to the house, sure I would find my dad up and dressed with a grin on his face from playing a trick on us. To my surprise, he was still asleep in bed, and there was no evidence that he had ever been up yet that morning. As soon as I realized it wasn't my dad, I felt a chill go up my spine. When I was about 16, I was walking out of the bathroom in the middle of the day, and standing in front of me was a tall old man dressed in an old-fashioned suit. He had an old-fashioned square hat on his pale head. He was somewhat transparent, but I could still make out every detail of his face and clothing. He had no expression on his face. When I saw him, I wasn't scared at all, which I thought was strange considering how creeped out I always felt when alone in the house. I stared at him in amazement for a few seconds and then he was gone. I could not believe my eyes. I am positive what I saw was there and was not a figment of my imagination. There was another occurrence where I saw a ghost. This had happened in previous years. I was maybe 9 or 10 years old. I had not thought much about this encounter until I'd seen the old man. I was walking towards my bedroom one night. My mom was standing in the kitchen and I said goodnight casually and turned the corner. There before me stood a little blonde-haired boy in a black suit. He was maybe about 4 or 5 years old. I was so caught off guard that I stopped whatever I was saying to my mother in mid-sentence. He was gone in a flash. Again, I wasn't scared when I saw him, but just confused and startled. I thought I must be seeing things. I currently live in a house where one of the previous tenants committed suicide. I do not feel any presence in this house and almost never feel scared or spooked. I'm confident that if his spirit was here in this house, that I would be aware of it. My dad sold our old family house several years ago. Sometimes I think about visiting the new owners and asking them if they have experienced any unusual occurrences, such as I did. The first time. Hi, I'm going to tell you about my very first experience with a paranormal. It was at my old house, and when I moved in, everything was fine, and then as I got older, things started happening. It started with my mother. She was in the bathtub one night. She said she was lying perfectly still when she felt a hand run down her leg. She still swears to this day that she didn't move or do anything. I have had a couple of experiences. One night, when I was sleeping, I got up to go to the bathroom. My bedroom is on the second floor, and there's a little landing before you get to the top of the stairs. I got up to go to the bathroom, and there was a guy standing on the landing on the stairs. And I didn't know what to expect at that time because I was just so frightened. I didn't have the ability to call my mom at the time. I just went back to bed and pulled the sheets over my head, waited about 3 minutes, and he was gone. I think I know who it was. The previous owner, I guess, hanged himself. But we never figured out where he did it. I continued to see the person, and as I continued to see him, the less afraid I became. Once I stopped seeing him, other things occurred. My mother was just sitting on the sofa during the middle of the day, and she saw a white mist go up the stairs and disappear around the corner. Some other stuff that happened to my mother. When she was home alone, she heard something fall over upstairs. She went to check it out and nothing had fallen over. Another day she was home all alone and she heard footsteps go across the ceiling that would have been in her bedroom. She said she could watch the footsteps move across the ceiling and that she and the dog were the only ones home and the dog was downstairs with her. We have moved out of that house now, but we still think we have paranormal activity and wonder if the new owners have had any experiences. A ghost named Emily. From 2004 to 2007, we lived in a house that a mean little girl named Emily haunted. When we first moved in, our oldest son was getting ready to turn a year old. We would hear him at night just chatting away. We didn't think anything of it because we know that children are able to be contacted by the other side. I am sensitive to the other side as well. I don't always see them, but I feel them. I could feel a presence in the house. At first, we just figured it was old, out-of-date wiring. We had the electrical checked out. Nothing was throwing off any high EMF. That was completely ruled out. The longer we lived there, the more uneasy I became. We fought all the time. The fights got worse the longer we lived there. On my 25th birthday in 2007, my eldest son came to me crying and said, "Emily just scratched me." He had been sleeping, and I was not sure if there was a little girl in his preschool class named Emily or not, so I asked him who Emily was. He said, "The mean little girl in my room." So I asked him where she scratched him, and he pointed to the back of his neck. So I looked at his neck, and there were scratches going from his neck all the way down his back. So I know he couldn't have done that himself. I freaked, went running to his room, and there was no one there. I asked him, "Where is she?" And he pointed at his bed and said, "She's sitting on my bed right there." When I told him I didn't see her, he started to cry and say, "She's making a scary face now." I asked him what she looked like, and he told me that she looked like Ghost Rider, only her head didn't have fire. It had hair. I asked him if she looked like that all the time. He told me no, only when she was being mean. That freaked me out even more. So I asked him how long he had been playing with Emily. And he told me, "Mommy, she has always been here. I always play with her." He ended up sleeping with us the rest of the time we lived in that house. The last few months in the house were living hell. The last week while we were packing, we started to argue and it kept getting worse until we almost started hitting each other. We just stopped and looked at each other like we didn't know the other. We have been in our new house for almost 2 years and we have never fought like that. We still have little meaningless spats like all married couples, but that is all. The good news is that Emily didn't come with us. And even more good news is that the elderly lady who used to own this house is still here. And she doesn't bother us a bit. We go about our business and she goes about hers. No one has lived in that house for very long since we had lived there. We were the longest tenants the landlady had ever had in that house. Everyone else stays no more than a year. The ghost in me. My first husband and I moved into a home located in a suburb of Cleveland, Ohio. The year was 1969. We knew as soon as we drove up the long driveway that it was the home for us. It was built of brick and nested between towering pine trees. We moved in and were quite happy in our new home. Things were relatively quiet there until my husband and I decided to remodel the kitchen. Our daughter was about a year old at the time. I have learned that resident ghosts do not appreciate the living messing with their homes and the paranormal activity began with the first blow of my husband's hammer. My husband worked two jobs while I was a stay-at-home mother. One evening, as my daughter and I were down in the basement doing laundry, I heard something fall heavily onto the living room floor above us. Since I knew that we were the only two people in the house at the time, I was extremely unnerved by the sound. Convinced that someone had entered the house, I took my daughter by the hand and quietly guided her up the stairs and out the back door of the home. We ran to a neighbor's home, and I called my husband in a panic. He rushed home. He and a group of neighbors searched the entire home for an intruder. The only thing they found out of place was a handmade ceramic pot that had always kept on one of the end tables in the living room. It was on the floor near the table. That pot weighed at least 10 pounds and would not have fallen off that table, and never did again, by the way, of its own accord. After that incident, I saw people out of the corner of my eye on a daily basis in the house. I saw the same two people so often that it became normal to me, and I just assumed everyone else in the house saw them as well. Things also began disappearing at the house. The first thing to disappear was an antique rifle that had been given to my husband by his grandfather. Since I have never been a proponent of guns, I asked that my husband keep the rifle in the attic storage space and not purchase any bullets for it. He did as I asked, and the rifle was placed right below the light switch between the studs to the right of the entrance of the attic. One day, when I entered the attic and turned on the light, I noticed the rifle was gone. I was very upset because we had had house guests that stayed in the upstairs bedroom for a while, so I assumed they had taken the rifle when they moved out. Since the house guests were relatives, I decided to search the attic before accusing them of purloining the rifle. I took every box and item out of the attic storage area, but the rifle could not be found. I resigned myself that I would have to write a letter to my cousin and ask him to return the rifle. Before I could do that, however, I went into the attic again about 2 weeks later. I switched on the light, and to my astonishment, there was the rifle, standing between the two studs where it had always been before it disappeared. The disappearing rifle was only the first of many things that vanished on a regular basis in the house. Sometimes the things that were taken eventually were returned, other times we never saw them again. Another incident that I remember vividly was the case of the disappearing buttons. I had been working on a yellow jacket for weeks, and had finally come to the point where all I had left to finish was sewing on the buttons. By this time, we had a son too, and as my daughter and son watched TV one evening, I sat in my reclining rocking chair sewing the buttons on the front of the jacket. The phone rang, and as I left the room, I warned my children not to disturb the chair I had been sitting in. 5 minutes later, I came back to find that the buttons I had left on the arm of the chair were gone. At first, I blamed my children for disturbing the chair, but they swore to me that they had never left their spots in front of the TV. We searched the entire living room looking for those buttons, to the point of me flipping over the chair, thinking that the buttons might have slipped down between the seat and the arms. After about an hour of reconnaissance, I gave up and put my children to bed. When I came back into the living room, there were the buttons, exactly where I had left them, on the left arm of the chair. I uttered a quiet thank you and sat back down and finished sewing on the buttons. Twice we put the home on the market before we actually sold it in 1982. Both times the realtors who listed the home did one open house each, but no others. Both reported that they heard cars driving up our driveway all day long, but when they went to the door, no one was ever there. That was another regular occurrence at the house. We eventually learned to ignore the sound of a car coming up our 450-foot gravel driveway because no matter how often we heard it, 95% of the time when we went to investigate, no one was there. There was a time when I was cleaning the breezeway that attached our garage to our main house when I swore I not only heard my husband's car come up the driveway, but actually heard it pull into the garage. My husband needed a new muffler at the time, so the sound of his car was very distinctive. I waited for several minutes for him to enter the breezeway. I finally went into the garage to find out why he had not come into the house yet, and found the garage empty, and there was no car in the driveway. I shook my head and went back into the breezeway to finish cleaning. For some reason, spirits have a connection to pennies. No one is exactly sure what the connection is, but often paranormal experiences will have something to do with pennies. Actually, I have found that putting a stack of pennies in a home is a good test to see if it is haunted. If the pennies remain undisturbed, there are probably other explanations for the anomalies one might be experiencing. One evening after coming home from visiting a friend who played card games with my son and daughter, they stacked the pennies my friend gave them on their dressers before going to bed. The next morning, I found my daughter and son both asleep, huddled together on the couch in the living room. When I asked them why they didn't sleep in their beds, they told me they were too scared to sleep in their rooms. My daughter took me into her bedroom to show me that there were several pennies all over the floor. Since I had cleaned my house the day before, I knew her floor had no pennies on it when I put my daughter to bed. She told me that after she fell asleep, she woke up at 1 a.m. to the sound of the cuckoo clock. After she heard the cuckoo go off once, she also heard a creaking on her floorboards in her bedroom and then heard the sound of a penny falling into the wood floor and rolling around the room before it eventually landed on its side. This routine continued in her room at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., and 4 a.m. By the time she was so petrified that she went on the couch to sleep, my son joined her there a short time later, claiming the same thing had happened to him. I went into his room and also found pennies on his floor. I guess the moral of this story is, if you are going to test a ghost with a stack of pennies, make sure the pennies are not in your bedroom. About a week before I finally moved out of the house, the gentleman spirit who inhabited the house wanted to make sure he made himself known to me. I was divorced at the time and was going to be married to my second husband. I had sold the house in 1981, and I was doing a final cleaning before moving out. I was alone in the house at the time, completely lost in thought of our new place and with my marriage plans. While in my son's bedroom, I suddenly felt I was no longer alone. I turned to look into the living room and saw quite plainly a man slowly drift past the doorway. That was the first time I'd ever seen the gentleman go straight on. Naturally, I was a bit shaken, but went on with my cleaning. A few minutes later, I moved my cleaning into the living room. There was a large mullion-paned window that presented a view of the pine trees that surrounded a driveway turnaround at the front of the house. I had a plant stand in front of the window and was there cleaning the stand when I felt the entire atmosphere of the house change. It became thick and heavy, but not cold as is usually the case with ghostly sightings. The closest analogy I can give is that the air felt like it was as thick as water. As I kneeled in front of the picture window in the living room, I could feel something move through the house from the back door, through the kitchen, into the living room, and then stop behind me. All the hairs on the back of my neck and arm stood at full attention at that point. Fighting to keep my composure, I said aloud, "I know you don't want me to go, but I have to leave. You're free to come with me, but I have to move on." As soon as I said that, the room's atmosphere became normal again, and I no longer felt the spirit standing behind me. That was actually the last time I saw the gentleman's spirit. I am hoping he moved on as well.